Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Amy, you love TV, don't you?
If it is on the Food Network, well, this, I am on it. Oh, this is not Food Network?
No, this will be on A&E. In fact, it's already started.
I love A&E, Arts and Entertainment.
Arts and Entertainment, yes. It is on A&E, and it debuted, the first episode of it debuted, about 10 days ago? Almost about a week and a half ago, I guess. It's called Ozark Law. And it is produced for the A&E network, and it is about the police in the Ozarks following them around and their daily business. To join us, it is the to join us now on the KMOX guest line, Osage Beach Police Chief Todd Davis is with us this afternoon. Hello, Chief. How are you?
Good. Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Doing pretty well. Well, Chief, I have to ask you. Sometimes when a show is made about a certain area or town or field, it's a great thing, and sometimes the people in that field roll their eyes. Are you excited about this one?
We are. I'm going to say some of our guys and gals were a little skeptical at first,
yeah.
but when you stick somebody else in a patrol car with you for 12 hours, it can be a little... It could be nerve-wracking until you get to know them a little bit, I guess. But the film crews that we had with us, they became part of us, and you know, they're good friends with us now. So.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, I could see being skeptical about it because it would almost you'd feel like it would interfere with your day-to-day work. Did it? Did it feel like they were in the way?
Not at all. Not to me. I didn't have them that much, but, when you're used to riding by yourself for 12 hours and you put somebody else in the car, you feel that you have to kind of talk with them and get to know them a little bit. And I think initially it was that, and then they got to know each other and, it made it a lot more comfortable and you really, then it was just like one of the other officers with you after a period of time.
Yeah, because I would imagine there would have to be an enormous amount of trust because did you find yourself wondering, are they going to edit this to make me look bad or to make the situation look worse? Because I think that would take a lot of trust in the person you're with.
That was some of our concerns when we first initially, you know, when they approached us about it, you know, what decisions do we have, or, you know, do we have any say on what's actually going to go on the air? And we actually did. We got to review all the episodes before they go on. And, you know, if it was something we didn't want or something they needed to blur out, you know, there was that possibility that we did. Fortunate for our agency, we didn't have any of those issues. They did a great job when they were, you know, putting the clips and everything together.
So there are three law enforcement based shows that A&E produced that all began this month. One is Homicide Squad New Orleans. One is Fugitive Hunters Mexico. And then there's Ozark Law. Why did they pick the Ozarks? Why did they pick your police department?
Well, One of their, I don't know what her title actually is. One of the members of their team actually kind of grew up in the lake area. Mm-hmm. Their family had a spot down here at the lake, and she'd been coming here since she was a kid. And I guess when they, tossed it out for another location, we were picked. She reached out to the neighboring agency's mayor and their department, and then reached out to us and a couple other agencies here at the lake. And after a period of time, it came to fruition.
Yeah, I think, I guess the the crux of the pitch for Ozark Law is that normally Osage Beach has 5,000 full-time residents, but with tourists, that balloons to hundreds of thousands of tourists who go, you know, to the Lake of the Ozarks over the summer and those months. And so is the show focused on how you deal with an influx of tourists? Like, you've got to keep order, but that's a big change from your full-time residents to the tourists.
Is it a lot of drunk people?
You know, well, if you watch the first episode, you could see one of them.
Yes.
And you know, my agency, we have 25 commissioned officers from the chief down. So that's, you know, including our school resource officer, our detectives, and a command staff. So, you know, we deal with our 5,000 population, you know, as every other agency around does. But then from mid-May till, you know, the end of September, 1st of October, on any given weekend, we could have 100,000 people plus. And we do that with the same amount of people. Mm. You know, we want everybody to come to the lake, have a great time, do it respectfully, do it safely, and get to go home. That's our overall goal. You know, sometimes things happen and, you know, people, they come to the lake and they forget
their manners.
Their manners, yeah.
Yeah,
a good way to put it.
Yeah, they think this is where I can throw manners to the wind and just get plastered.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm on vacation. You know, I can do what I want. And that's not necessarily the case sometimes.
So wait, you're saying that you cannot, just because you're on vacation, do whatever you want.
pretty much. Okay. You know, this is where we live. We raise our families. And everything is just like, you know, everybody else back home where they live. But, you know, everybody likes to cut loose a little bit, and we know that. So we try to keep that good balance.
Yeah, that's impressive. And is there any, aside from, like you said, your initial skepticism that they might cut the film to, you know, misrepresent you guys, you put that aside, is there any vindication that you're glad that the public gets to see what you have to deal with? Like, I imagine as a police officer, so many times you're like, the public doesn't get it. They don't know what we deal with all the time. Do you feel like this kind of shows that?
I think so. You know, I was talking to another one of the guys. We were eating lunch yesterday, and we were talking about the episode, the first episode. And he's like, his wife was like, does that really, you guys deal with that every night? And we're like, not every night, but a lot of times during the summer, they were talking about the intoxicated female. And it's like, yes, we deal with that. And it's like, you know, the saying, you can't make that up.
Yeah.
And that's true. Not every day is like that. Not every night's like that, but we do see those on occasion.
Osage Beach Police Chief Todd Davis is with us on KMOX. Again, Ozark Law just started about a week and a half ago. You can watch it on A&E. So when you make a contact and you've got this camera crew with you, and the camera crew gets out of the cars, and they're, you know, you're dealing with somebody who's drunk or dealing with, you're making a contact with somebody, do they look at the cameras and go, what the hell's all this? Like, how does that work when you're actually having to do work and the person you have to talk to looks up and sees a camera crew?
You know, I didn't, being the chief, I didn't have them with me on hardly at all, just here at the office, but just talking to the officers, you know, sometimes you get people that would be like, hey, I don't want to be on TV, you know, let's get this, let's handle this and take care of it real quick. And then you get others that, I think they did act out a little more probably because they were on TV.
Oh, my
gosh. Like, oh, wow, I want to be on TV.
I want to be on TV? I'm going to take a swing then. What? It seems like that would be worse.
We did afterwards on some occasions. We had people call up, and now that the, you know, when they realized started seeing the trailers for the episodes and stuff, they're like, they'll call us up and they'll be like, hey, I'm on TV. I think I did sign that waiver, but I don't know that it's going to be a good thing that I'm going to be on this show now. So, you know, we refer them to their legal department, and, you know, they can,
wow,
they can work that out on their own. But,
oh, man.
You know, they thought it was a cool thing at the time, but then they're having second thoughts when they're,
yeah,
it's going to be national TV, just not news at the lake.
Oh my God, my boss is going to see this.
Yeah. Well, I'm just amazed. So
Is my boss.
That is my boss. Now, I haven't thought about, I it's so dumb, but I didn't even think about it. If you have to get permission from these people who you are dealing with and arresting, what if it's, are there any like really, really bad crimes?
Anybody sign the waiver while they were actually in cuffs?
I don't think so. I know they reach out. There's the film, the camera guy, and then there's a media relations person that rides, that goes along with us. So there's actually actively getting signatures when the events are occurring. Usually if they're taken into custody, that happens after the fact, not, you know, they don't interfere with anything that we're doing. Say it's a crash scene or something, you know, they wait till everything's over with, and then they go talk to the people, tell them what's going on, break it down that way. But, yeah, they don't interfere with us. It's kind of like they're just in the background behind you. You kind of got to get used to having them in your peripheral vision, yeah, per se.
Well, you're a TV star now, so you're just going to have to get used to it. And
I think fan mail's going to, I'm watching the trailer. I think these police officers are going to get fan mail.
You got any fan mail?
I don't know if anybody has yet or not.
All right, well.
Hello, I saw you on Ozark Law. I think you're going to get a few of those in your department.
Amy might send you one.
Hello.
Todd Davis, we appreciate you. Thank you. It's crazy. I grew up in this area. I have never been to the Ozarks ever.
What?
I've never
been down. You're insane.
It's nuts.
Well, you got to go down there and get arrested and be on the show.
Can I do a ride along?
Come on down. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Awesome.
We'll hook you up.
Awesome.
We'll get you one.
Todd Davis, love it. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
Same to you.
Todd Davis, Osage Beach Police Chief. Again, the show is called Ozark Law. It is on A&E, and it debuted about a week and a half ago, so it's on right now. You should be watching it. Awesome stuff.
Love it.
We learned earlier today that the Supreme Court has upheld the ban on TikTok, which is supposed to go into effect on Sunday. So this is really happening. We've got CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum next.
Did it. The Supreme Court upheld the TikTok ban that will go into effect on Sunday, January 19th. And to kind of explain exactly what this means, why the court upheld the ban, we are joined by Thane Rosenbaum, CBS legal analyst. Thane, good to talk to you today.
Good talking to you, Chris and Amy.
So the TikTok ban that we talked about for so long, and now it's finally here, that January 19th date. What were some of the reasons behind this decision from the Supreme Court?
Well, it was a unanimous decision, which, you know, doesn't come up often. But when it does come up often, it usually happens cases dealing with free speech and national security. In this case, both national security and free speech were in the same case, which made it really interesting because these were areas that were clashing with each other. Normally, these are areas that the Supreme Court, even liberals and conservatives, have some consensus on. But when it came really down to it, you know, TikTok is controlled with some oversight by the Chinese Communist government. Their capacity to harvest data on half the country is extraordinary. They have 170 million users, active users, and everybody's getting their news out of TikTok. So in an era in which we're worried about, you know, disinformation and hacking and interference from foreign countries, this presented a national security threat enough so that a bipartisan coalition of Congress and lawmakers decided to either say that TikTok shut down or sell yourself to some other entity that doesn't have such, you know, access to the Chinese government. They play the game of chicken with the Supreme Court, assuming that the United States Supreme Court would never override the free speech rights of 170 million Americans. And they were wrong. They lost.
Well, is that really a free speech issue? I know you said it's a First Amendment issue, but is free speech really being stifled just by the deplatforming of a company?
Yeah, I love what you said, Chris. I love what you said and the way you said it. That actually came up in the Supreme Court oral argument. Stop saying free speech. This has nothing to do with free speech. The First Amendment says that the government can't restrict speech and it can't prefer one viewpoint over another or restrict some content over other content. What the government is saying is here, we could care less about your cat videos or about you and your cousin dancing or whatever opinion you might want to offer on TikTok. It has nothing to do with content. It has nothing to do with viewpoint. It has nothing to do with speech. It says what you said. It has to do with ownership. We don't like who your owner is. You can sell yourself to someone tomorrow and you can put the same cat videos on, and we're fine with that. So the purpose of the First Amendment is to make sure that the government doesn't step in and stifle communication, stifle speech, ideas, the marketplace of ideas. They may say cat videos are really don't contribute much to the marketplace of ideas, but we don't care. We're not saying you can't do it. We're just saying we don't like your owner, so get rid of your owner.
Because it would be like it's completely the opposite of a newspaper outlet, a media outlet, and the government saying we don't like all the stories you print, so we're taking you down.
They're just
saying we don't like platform, not the content.
Let's put it this way. Remember what happened a number of years ago when Twitter knocked off Donald Trump? Everyone knocked off Donald Trump. I mean, that was really, you know, to the extent to which if the government had somehow had some involvement in restricting access. In that case, those were privately held companies that said, we don't like your viewpoint. We don't like what you're doing. We don't like what you're saying. So we're going to deny you access. Private companies can do that. Guess who did that? The San Francisco 49ers did that to Colin Kaepernick, the private company. They didn't like what he was doing. They said, stand at attention. Don't take a knee. They had the right to do that. Had the state of California required everyone to stand at attention for the playing of the national anthem, now that would violate the First Amendment. So you're right. This is a whole different deal from the government stepping in and shutting down a news source because we're saying we don't like the viewpoint or we don't like the content you produce. They're saying we're neutral on content. We're just saying this is a national security problem. And Congress stepped in and made that decision. The Biden administration agreed with the decision, and the Supreme Court said it's not unconstitutional to do it. It doesn't violate the First Amendment.
Yeah, Thane, is this similar to the fact that a foreign state, a foreign government can't own a TV station in the United States?
Yeah, exactly, Amy. Yeah, I mean, these issues are there for a reason. You know, by the way, you know, this is the thing that we're dealing now with in this country with respect to computer chips. Right. Mm-hmm. Now that Intel's doing so badly, economically, we're worried. We're now fully dependent on foreign builders of chips. And so this is a big issue on Congress. Like, what happened to America that we don't have to do this anymore? Because computer chips are probably the most important thing that anyone can manufacture. And we're relying on companies that are either next to China or controlled by China. So, yeah, it's very similar arguments. And after 9/11, we got real national security threat busy. You know, we developed, remember, there was no Department of Homeland Security. This is new. This is all post 9/11. The NSA, all of these things are post 9/11. And this, I would say, is in the same category, that we get very nervous when another company could somehow, or another country, more importantly, another country can exert influence over us in an area that we could be vulnerable. And communications, in this case, with half the country on the platform, it does present somewhat of a threat.
So what happens now, because the Biden administration said we're not dealing with it? The Trump administration seems to be more on board with TikTok sticking around. So what happens now?
So it's an interesting question. You know, I don't think you can have an executive order by President Trump to override Congress and the Supreme Court. Talk about the separation of powers, right? You know, we have three separation of powers. Two of the three entities said no go unanimously, right? 9-0 on the Supreme Court, and both Democrats and Republicans, for the one time, they decided in Congress to do something together, the bipartisan report. Now you get a new president who goes, I like TikTok. No, let's keep TikTok going. I think that what could happen is Donald Trump can buy them time. He's going to say, we're not shutting it down entirely. We keep it open. There can be no new content. You can't open new accounts. But there's a 90-day window now. You guys didn't take it seriously that you need to sell yourself. I am telling you, you have to sell you. You have to sell yourself to some other entity. Donald Trump is a deal maker, right? He probably thinks this is going to be fun, right? Let's see if we could find an entity, a consortium of American investors that would like to own this, and then we don't have a problem with it. A lot of Americans use it. They like it. This is really an ownership issue. Could the president introduce an executive action that simply says, we're putting a bigger pause on this. We're going to give it more than 90 days to try to find a buyer.
Thane Rosenbaum, CBS legal analyst, thank you so much for your time today on this issue.
Anytime for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, we didn't talk to Danan Hughes earlier.
Yes.
I don't know if he's on TikTok. We should find out.
He's on Instagram. Instagram.
Is he on Instagram? Yep. All right, I'm going to go find him on Instagram because we found him. He's available to us.
Down.
We tracked him down. He's available to us. Danan Hughes will preview the Chiefs division round playoff game tomorrow. He is next on KMOX. Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow will have their first playoff game of the year. They will take on the Houston Texans. It is a 3:30 kickoff. We're going to have that game for you tomorrow. We've got Billiken's basketball right ahead of it, and then it is the Kansas City Chiefs. That will be tomorrow, of course. We are the home of Chiefs football all the way through until you get to the Super Bowl. But we are with you, and so is Danan Hughes, who is with us. He is the Chiefs radio analyst. You'll hear him tomorrow on KMOX, and former wide receiver. He's getting ready for playoff football as well. How's it going, Danan?
What's going on, guys? It's been an anticipated weekend for sure. I was talking with some people. I'm here at a MLK Day celebration luncheon here in Kansas City for Metropolitan Community College, and a lot of fundraising going on here, but obviously a lot of Chiefs fans, and talked about when you get to the point of the week where the excitement and the angst, almost like it's a high level of excitement early in the week, and then it's like, let's hurry up and get this game over with so we can get to the AFC Championship type of feeling, and the angst is there now. So I feel like it's leveling out as we get closer to kickoff. I think you'll have some more anxious people that are just ready for the kickoff to get started and hopefully for the game to go our way.
What about from the player's perspective, especially someone like Patrick Mahomes, who hasn't played since Christmas Day, or Travis Kelce, who sat out their last game and then the bye week? It's been a while since you've played. You're excited for this game. What are they feeling?
Yeah. I'm sure they are feeling the excitement. They are ready. I mean, when you are a player, you are conditioned to play. There's this notion that players want to sit out, that they want to, you relish the bye when everybody gets to sit out. But there's a difference between sitting out a game when you know all your buddies are going out there battling versus everyone sitting out because you earned a bye. So I have to believe, I know from my experience in that locker room, like, you're just ready to play. Like, this has probably been the longest 2 weeks for the Chiefs team, because they're watching other teams play and they just know that their goal, in order to get to their goal, they have to get through these games and they can't get here quick enough. So the players are in that mindset. This is unique territory as well when you talk about Patrick Mahomes and his rest. He will have rested for 24 days, and as a starting quarterback, It hasn't been since 1993 when Warren Moon did it with the Houston Oilers that a quarterback sat longer than 22 days. Warren Moon did it 22 days between starts and playoffs, and Patrick Mahomes will be on his 24th day. So people are wondering about the rust and the rest. I don't think that's going to be a factor. When you play the gauntlet of schedule that the Chiefs have played this season, I feel like it was just warranted rest.
Yeah, and I think getting healthy is probably a team's number one goal going into the postseason, is just make sure everybody is as healthy as they can possibly be. So, and you also did not want to get him hurt in a game that didn't matter. So sitting him makes a whole lot of sense. How quickly does it, or how fast of an adjustment period is there when you get back to game speed? So you haven't played in over 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. You're going to take your first snap. Is that all it takes? You just get that first snap and you're good to go?
Pretty much. It's not like, you know, he's taken off a month after being injured and sitting out games here and there and has had to rehab. He's practiced every day. He goes through the pregame routine even when he wasn't playing in that last game. So, like, I think most general fans don't realize that taking off of the 3.5 hours of game does not directly correlate to any rust. It'll take maybe the first hit that he takes to get his blood going again. But Patrick Mahomes is the ultimate competitor. He's the ultimate professional. He's been down this road before. He's 6-0 in the divisional round in the playoffs. He's played his best football, 13 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in this round throughout his career. So, and on several occasions, we had the bye, and we're able to move into this round easily at home. So this is not unfamiliar to him. He's preparing for history, and I think that's where their mindset has been all season long.
With the Houston Texans, what are you most concerned about, or what do you think the Chiefs should focus most on regarding the Texans and their arsenal of weapons?
Well, they just announced that Joe Tooney is going to start at tackle, who – he fared very well against this Houston Texans team back on December 21st. We just played them back in Week 16, so it's not like they're unfamiliar. They have a feverish, devastating pass rush with Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., and they will come after the quarterback. Now, they weren't very successful against us back at that pre-Christmas game, but they played extremely well last week against the Chargers, forcing 4 interceptions and just were heat-seeking missiles around Justin Herbert's legs all game long, disrupting the game. I feel like their key is to come out and try to withhold us early in the game, withstand the storm. The Chiefs fans are going to be rabid. It's going to be cold, and we got to come out and throw some haymakers early and let them know who we are. But they get paid, too, and they have a goal, too. And we've been in that position where we've had to climb through on the road, like last year, and play difficult teams and difficult environments and come out with wins. So the number one thing that jumps out to me is their defense. They played extremely well. They were the reason why they were able to beat the Chargers in the wild card round, and they're going to try to bring that defense in here and quiet us down.
So C.J. Stroud, their quarterback, the Houston Texans quarterback, had a really, really good rookie season. This season hasn't been quite as good, but still pretty good. How do you look at what he's done in year two?
I think he's done a solid job. I mean, it's one thing when you're a rookie, we always used to say, you don't know what you don't know. You just come out and play. And sometimes you can play more relaxed, and it depends on what kind of demeanor you have, what kind of mindset you have. You can play better as a rookie because you don't really know what you're in store for. You're just learning this game in the NFL. Then the sophomore year comes, and like people say, the sophomore slump, the sophomore jinx can be a factor because now you start to get some of the knowledge that you absorbed as a rookie, and you're trying to implement that but still have the playmaking ability and try to utilize the success you had as a rookie as well. And sometimes you can get what they say is paralysis by analysis. You start overthinking things and not being the athlete that you are. So I give him credit that even though statistically he wasn't better this year than he was last year. He had some injuries. Nico Collins was out. Tank Dell is obviously out. He's had a gauntlet of injuries that he's had to deal with, but they still won the AFC South. They still got to the playoffs. He still won a second playoff game. And the same four teams that were in this round last year are back in this round this year, and the Houston Texans are one of them. So I feel like he has confidence. You can expect him to use his legs a little bit more tomorrow because that's how he got some success and he got into the flow of the game last week against the Chargers. So he's going to throw the ball around a lot. There's a question as to whether Joe Mixon will be healthy and able to play. So expect C.J. Stroud to put the weight on his shoulders to try to beat head-to-head against Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, Danan, before your games in your career, did you have any superstitions or at least routines to which you had to adhere?
Oh, my gosh. do we have another 45 minutes?
Sure.
On this show?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I was extremely superstitious.
Really?
Now, you guys know I have a baseball background, so baseball players are notorious to be superstitious. So I carried a lot of that over into my career. I got away from it later in my career. I kind of changed my mindset, changed my life around, and just got focused on the business. But you're talking about, like, I walked away from the training room because the trainer would tape my left ankle first before my right ankle.
Oh.
And he just touched my right foot, and I got up and walked out.
Dude.
And I started everything over.
Wow.
I had to wear my left sock first, shirts, the same undershirts, the same pregame meal, which was Wendy's back then.
Really?
I wasn't very healthy.
Dude.
Oh.
I love it.
It was ridiculous. It was I tell you, it was tougher to handle all the superstitions than it was to actually play in the game. Like, I was relieved when the kickoff started because I was way too focused on all those ancillary things. So, yeah, we can go on and on.
All right.
If you ever get a lull in your show, and you want to hear about all of those superstitions, just give me a call back.
we just have 3 hours of lull.
Or just lull. All right. We need to have you on to talk about these superstitions. And, like, did you get a Frosty at Wendy's?
No, didn't get a Frosty. I didn't want to have that on my stomach.
That's
that would be
dairy.
Ugly on a bad hit. Chicken sandwich, number four, plain chicken sandwich, large fry. That's it.
All right, did any of this work?
We didn't win a Super Bowl, so I guess ultimately it didn't work. But I won a lot of football games, made some big plays, so I was content with it. But, I mean, imagine if I'd have won a Super Bowl with it, I'd probably still be eating that. I'd be 500 pounds.
So see, it's a blessing in disguise. A great career, but...
All right. Well, we should check in with you because we think that we... Well, we thought the reason that we didn't catch up with you earlier was that we may have gotten you into trouble at home.
Yeah.
Did we?
Oh, no.
All right, good.
Oh, I did come up with... I did find that play. It said, healthy husband, healthy home. So that's the counter to happy wife, happy life. Healthy husband... healthy home.
So, okay.
There you go. I did find it. I did some homework. Fortunately, she didn't hear the broadcast last week. And so we still have a healthy and happy house right now.
All right, good. You better make sure she doesn't get the Odyssey app because she'll find that interview and you will be in trouble.
I was like, Ronj, this is not good. Danan, his wife is not letting him join our show anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I come on the show next week and I sound like I got like marbles in my mouth, then you know there might be a few chicklets missing.
Oh. All right, well, we hope she doesn't do that to you. Be careful out there.
All right, thanks. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Good luck tomorrow.
All right, thank you.
That is Danan Hughes, former receiver and current radio analyst, along with Mitch Holthus. He will have the call of the Chiefs and Texans tomorrow. The kickoff is at 3:30. We will be hitting that game after the Billikens get done. They play right before that. So lots of sports tomorrow. Lots of sports over the weekend because of the winter warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're itching to get your Cardinals fix, this is the time to do it all weekend long. And then, of course, football we've got. And then Monday, we should remind you that we are no longer going to be at Ballpark Village. We thought we were going to be, but the inauguration broadcast is different than we thought. So that gets started at 10 o'clock. Donald Trump's inauguration starts at 10. That's what the coverage starts here on KMOX. Prior to that, at 9, from 9 until 10, Tom Ackerman will be live from our little KMOX setup at Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village. So stop by, say hello to him. Amy and I will get started at 12 on Monday. All right. Those are your weekend plans.
That's it.
Those are your Monday plans. You're set.
It's going to be a party on Monday. We're doing a celebratory hour to celebrate winter warm-up, MLK Day, inauguration, and championship football.
Yeah.
All on Monday.
Notre Dame, Ohio State, Monday night.
Wow. You got to wear your Notre Dame hat.
I am. I am bandwagoning like you wouldn't believe.
Love it. You deserve it. You're a Bears fan. You need some hope.
Yeah, the Bears. So I'm hearing that the Bears want to interview Marcus Freeman,
yeah.
Notre Dame's coach. I'm also hearing that he wants nothing to do with it. I don't know how true that is. But can you imagine just your team sucks so bad that nobody wants to coach it?
Yep.
Ah, God. I don't know. What a mess. All right. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. You can always leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app anytime. Listen to the show, listen to the podcast, all of it's there. Don't forget that you can listen to the station live and the podcasts. If you have, like, Alexa at home, say, hey, Alexa, play the Chris and Amy show, and she'll do it. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's the miracle of technology.
Chris and Amy on KMOX. Amy, did you know that you're not allowed, if you're a pilot, you're not allowed to get on the plane and fly it when you're hammered?
So, shocking. No, I did not. No, actually, remember my pilot friend? He said there are some pilots that won't even use mouthwash the day that they fly.
Oh, because they're afraid of getting in trouble.
Because the alcohol in your mouth or something.
So a Southwest...
I feel like he said that was wrong after I said that, but I'm going with it.
Yeah, just whatever. It doesn't matter. We're not fact-checking here. A Southwest Airlines pilot removed from the cockpit ahead of a flight.
Yeah.
It happened this week. It was going from Georgia to Chicago and was booked on a charge of driving under the influence. And this is according to CBS News. So a David Paul Alsip allegedly smelled of alcohol and may have shown other signs of intoxication. Airport police in Savannah removed him before Flight 3772 to Chicago's Midway took off. The employee has been removed from duty, says Southwest Airlines. His bail set at $3,500. Why does it... I guess, look, it's a little easier, even though it's not excusable, it is a little easier to accidentally drink a little too much and get in your car. Okay? Getting on a plane hammered.
No,
is like
flying. Getting on to fly.
Yeah,
you're
the
pilot.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with having a few pops at the bar in the airport before you get on your flight because you're going on vacation. But if you're flying the plane.
As long as you're not the pilot.
Do you know how much effort it takes to be in uniform, get drunk, I don't know where he was, and then say, I'm going to try to get on this flight and fly all these people?
I mean, you're putting hundreds of lives at risk. This guy should never, ever, 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 ever be able to fly a plane ever again. His career's over.
Do you know what the BAC is? Do you know what the, I'm going to give it to you here. The FAA, what they allow for a pilot.
I thought it was 0.00.
No. Regulations prohibit pilots from using alcohol while on duty or from flying or attempting to fly an aircraft within 8 hours of consuming alcohol or if they have a blood alcohol concentration of 0.04 or greater.
Which is half of what we guessed.
0.08. Right. So you could be a little...
That can't be right. That seems high.
No, that's what it's... that. These are the FAA regulations.
It should be
0.00,
right? It should be 0.00. I wonder if each airline company or private pilots have their own blood alcohol content. If I were Taylor Swift and I had a private jet or two, I would make my rule for my pilot is 0.00%.
Okay.
No blood alcohol content. You can't drink at all within 8 hours of flying my plane.
Of course not.
0.04. Do you know does anyone know? And you've got about 30 seconds to text us. Does anyone know, is that a half a drink? How do you get to 0.04? Is it one, like...
Oh, I don't know
is
that.
It a half a shot of bourbon? If you did a half a shot, which is not very much. Have you ever had your blood alcohol tested?
No.
I
haven't.
I don't know how to get to the numbers. Someone said that it gets to 0.08 quickly.
This texter says he won't lose his job and or profession. He'll be suspended, forced to go into rehab, and then pass flight status tests.
No. I think you should be fired forever.
Well,
you know
there,
who else?
Isn't there a pilot
surgeon.
Shortage? There's what, a pilot shortage.
Doesn't matter. What if you're a brain surgeon and you show up a little bit buzzed? You should lose your job.
I do. This is one of those professions where you just can't.
You can't.
You absolutely can't. This... Maybe, you know, surgeon is another. CDL holders, according to a text message, it is also 0.04.
A what?
CDL, so like the drivers, this truck driver.
Gotcha. Yeah. Commercial driver's license, yeah. I would think nurses are given shots, medications. If you're even a little, maybe you're just having a day where you're just like, man, my brain's not working. Like, I don't want to feel ditzy on a day that I'm a nurse or a doctor. You can't. Do it. It's like the gifts to the Supreme Court justices. Sorry, if you're a pilot, don't drink before your flight.
And don't drink before this show.
Well.
You, Amy.
Me?
Yeah, you. You know how you are. We're going to be back with you on Monday. At 12 o'clock. Hysterical. Tom Ackerman's got some, from 9 to 10, he's got coverage from the winter warm-up. Then inauguration coverage starts at 10. Then we're going to jump on about 12 o'clock, Amy and me. So that will be on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy everything. And we will talk to you next week on the Odyssey app. And anything you missed is there as well. Have a good one. We love you. Goodbye. Dave Glover's next.